can be seated. Well, so what's going to happen tonight is I'm going to share a few thoughts, and Pat's going to share a few thoughts, and then we're going to pray some and then reconvene tomorrow morning. I think you guys know our general topic, partly because we are all men here. In the end, what we're going to get to is we're going to get to the topic of purity in our churches. Well, really, we want to lay a broader context than that. And I guess I just want to share my heart with you about some of my observations as I travel around. I have shared before, but I get kind of a unique perspective. When you just get to see one church all the time, it's really easy to just lose the forest for the trees. But when you travel around and you never really get totally immersed anywhere, but you're just always at that 30,000-foot level, you get a different perspective. And so that's kind of been what I've gotten to do for the last 4 or 5 years is just go around and kind of just I get to test the water in different places, church after church. And I just want to share with you that there's always some really encouraging stuff in that. I'm always amazed at the saints. And I almost always hear a really good message. I feel like our teaching is strong, and I feel like there's a core there that's good. But I also want to share with you that one of the things I'm struck by in the very same hand is that there is a weakness in our churches that is different than it used to be 25 years ago. And I look out, and there's a bunch of old saints, and they're running at about 10 or 15% of their spiritual RPM. There's a bunch of young, new saints, and they're just not strong. The steely-eyed missile man that we used to talk about 25 years ago, I just don't get to look in those eyes very often. And I would say, characteristically, the weakness in churches, especially with the young, is men. Something has happened. And it isn't just our churches. I mean, secular books are getting written on this, right? We all know that. Just there's a ton of books on what has happened to men, what has happened to boys. There's been a profound change in the last 40 years, and especially the last 20 years. And there's books by women about how we can't find any men to marry. And then there's Christian books. And there's books saying it's plastic and in our water bottles. But everybody goes, something's happened to men. And I look at that and I go, that is true. Something has happened to men. And I'll be in conversation at times with men and women. And the women, man, they are sharp and strong and spiritually focused. And the guys are like, I was just in a scenario like that. And when I think about the Church of Jesus, and I think about where we're going, and I think about what we're going to be living in 5 years from today, and I look at the people in our churches, and I look at the men in our churches, something inside me goes off, and I go, whoa, 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 whoa. We have got to do something and draw some circles and figure something out and call some people. Or when things get really challenging, people are not going to have what they need. They're going to go, I don't know how to deal with this. And all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself standing on your pulpit looking out and there isn't going to be anybody there. They're all going to be gone because life has gotten too challenging and they can't do it because they didn't have the foundation. And as I look across the church in America, that's what's happening. The whole church has just gotten weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And now the wind's going to blow. And there's going to be a lot of things that are not going to hold. And God has given us a core and roots that I am convinced we must call one another back to. And I don't care how many men are left in the room when we get done calling. I don't care how many men are there. But we got to be able to look at one another and go, we're in this. I, to the best of my ability, am going to follow Jesus Christ. And I'm going to lead my family there. And I am walking down this road because the alternative is not an acceptable one. You guys are leaders. Everyone will look at you and go, what are you thinking? And so that's why we need to ask ourselves that. No. And we need to be clear on some things. Then we need to figure out, okay, what does it mean to strengthen the church? And we're going to talk about one thing that in my own conviction, I am pretty convinced, is going to be where we grab the gun out of the devil's hand and shoot him with it. And I think we're either going to get shot, and we are getting shot. We're actually getting riddled to death. But I think we can reach out. Jesus is going to give us a chance to reach out, grab that gun, and shoot him right in the head. If we will walk in this, that's what I believe. This is our chance for the church to come alive in a deep and a profound and a powerful way. But we have got to be men that will walk that course. And so that's what we're going to lay out this weekend. And it all ends with, really, this weekend ends in February. It ends with a men's conference in February where you guys are going to take this and what we walk out between now and then, and you're going to bring it to our whole church community. That's what we want to talk about. That's what we want to throw out to you. Okay, so let me share some thoughts with you that have been significant for me. I don't know, a year or so ago, or it just really started resonating with me. Like, I just kept going over it, like, this is it. What John wrote, he said, I write to you, young men, because you're strong. And the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. And I thought, that is God's purpose for young men. I don't know if I can claim that anymore. But I tell you this, every man wants to be strong. But young men, that is God's purpose and vision for you. He looks at you and he says, this is your birthright. This is what you have. This is what's from me to you. This is the place you're at. You are to be strong. And I look around and I go, where are men that understand that, know that, and are strong men? Where is their strength? The glory of young men is their strength. Gray hair is the splendor of the old. So, like, I've got mine. Where's yours? The glory of young men. Young men, you are created to be strong in all the stuff of God. Young men are to be strong. That is your place. That is your birthright. And that is where God wants to take you and use you in strength. Who said that? Who said that? Two? David said that to Solomon. David is an old man getting close to dying. He's given Solomon his instructions before he dies, and he says this to him, listen, you be strong. You show yourself a man. That is God's purpose for men. I love this verse. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. You know, honestly, I think if there's anything that terrifies the devil, this is what terrifies the devil. There is one thing he cannot abide. It is strong men. Not strong in the world's strength. Strong the way God defines them. Strong men change things. You don't have to have very many of them. A handful of strong men make a profound impact. And I will claim that spot. I am not old. Maybe my role is different. I want to be strong. And some of you guys heard me teach. This is one of my favorite men verses. Someday, hopefully, I'll be like this guy. This is said about him. Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. Sort of a silly little verse, maybe, but boy, it's deeply, profoundly spoken to me. Who was that said about? Boaz. And I thought, that's who I want to be. When someone knows I'm responsible, they just let it go. Don't worry, he's got it. Oh, he won't stop. He will not stop until it's done. Is that said of you? Oh, don't worry, he's got it. Oh, he won't rest until it's done. Forget it. Just go relax. He's got it. He will not let it go. He is a man who is strong. You were made for that. All the sense of inadequacy in that. All the sense of lack in that. But I am telling you this. You were made for that. And God is glorified in that. And of course, the church really needs that. 1 Timothy, the pillar and aid, you'll know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Two words there really speak strength, pillar and foundation. Pillars are strong. A foundation has to be strong. So the church is the pillar and foundation of the truth. Where does that strength lie? That strength lies in the convictions of the men. That's the pillar and foundation. That's where the strength is. It is the convictions of the men. Now, without us, God can raise up Deborahs. But understand this, men. When God raises up women, there is no place in God's plan. When God raises up women, there is no place in God's plan for men. When God raises up men, the whole world opens up for God's plan for women. You take your place, and everybody has a spot. You don't take your place, and there's not another one for you. We are called to act like men. Resonate in your heart? Do you go, I want that? Do you go, I want to be a strong man? Resonate in your heart? Do you go, I want that? Do you go, I want to be a strong man? I want that. And however God defines that, I want that. If you are not that, the church is no stronger than you are. The conviction of the men is a level of strength in the church. Okay. So, that thought in our head, then we all go, but boy, there's a lot of things that are challenging there. And so I want to ask us this question, and I want to even put some answers on the whiteboard. What are some things that keep Christian men from being by a sea of things that the devil has all set up to sap our strength out? We're surrounded by a sea of things that the devil has all set up to sap our strength out. But what are some of those things that men today face? Baseball? Facebook. Facebook. Okay. Yeah, and we could broaden that out to all kinds of, I guess we could just say social media. I don't know whether that's as big a thing for us as it might be for the women in our midst. I don't know. Maybe some of you guys are big Facebookers.
I'll just say a broader thing on that topic, John. Just this exposure in general to so much media and so much brokenness that you have no control over.
Okay. Say more, Brian. Say, what are you saying? Go ahead, say more. Media.
Media.
So all the input we get, just
information over.
Okay. That might be information too. Media, information overload. Problems, and we can't solve any of them. Okay. A million problems, and we can't solve any of them. Okay. What else? Amen.
So lies I believe, and then I go to God's truth and his promises, and that's where I get that strength back and go, no, I actually can do this.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I'm going to even define that a little bit. This is of inadequacy, our own internal stuff where we feel inadequate. Voices of inadequacy, our own internal stuff where we feel inadequate.
Related to that, risk averse.
Risk.
Our perception of what
is safe. Okay. Being risk averse, being fearful. Great, James. Yeah.
Injury and fatigue.
Okay, so we get beat up.
I would say related would be like diet and nutrition.
Okay. Okay, diet, nutrition, exercise, health-related things. Lack of activity. Okay. Okay. Man. Okay. Okay. Okay, so we want risk averse. So yeah, we're just fearful, comfortable. I want to write lazy, but complacent. That's a good word. That's a great word. Yeah, complacent.
Lazy.
Entitled. That's a great word too. That's a great word for our culture. Ignorance of God's word? Okay. Yeah. Man. And we're going to run into that one big one in the election. There's going to be a lot of that. Ignorance of God's word. Okay. Career. So worldly ambition? Okay. Worldly ambition? And we can enumerate or idols. Okay, one more here.
Busyness.
Okay, one more here. Busyness. Okay, one more here.
Busyness.
Gee. Yeah, gee.
John, what about society? They don't really want strong men. And so we raise our boys.
Yeah. I'm going to say gender confusion and gender denial and gender discrimination, or I don't know. Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm going to add one more. I mean, we could really keep going on this, but I'm going to add one more.
John, I think you're right.
Yes. Our heart is in the wrong place. We haven't guarded our heart. Affections. That's probably could draw lines to a bunch of this stuff. I'm going to put one more down here. A violated conscience. It says in Timothy that shipwrecks our faith. Okay, there's a whole board full of stuff, and if we had a bigger whiteboard, we'd still be doing it. And a lot of you guys have stuff you wish you could have said, but you didn't get a chance. So, we live with lots of adversaries to our strength. I'm going to claim, or I'm just going to tell you what I believe. I believe there is one that is bigger than all of them today. And it's our topic. That's what I believe. If you're going to pick one specific thing that is cutting the heart out of the church, that is gutting the faith of men, I think this is it. And I think there's some support from that in the Bible even. Interesting verse here. It says, do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. Somehow there is a way to give our strength to women. We live in a world where what men lack is strength, and we live in a world like never ever before where men's minds are constantly engaged with women. In advertising, in movies, forget about pornography, wipe it off the planet. In my opinion, we still have a huge problem with how God has made men, because our brains are continually stimulated with things that draw our strength out of us. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep a path far. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your best strength to others and your years to one who is cruel. A stranger's feast on your wealth and your toil enrich another man's house. What happens when you engage your sexual identity outside of marriage in any form or fashion? Your best strength, man. Your best strength is given away. To be strong, I really believe this, you can only be strong if you have boundaries around your sexuality. Your strength is tied to that. And the devil knows that. He reads the Bible every day, I'm sure. And if I wanted to take out men, I would go, this is the pipeline to their strength. All at once, he followed her like an ox, going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare. How many of you you don't have to raise your hands, how many of you felt that way? Oh man, I know exactly what that verse means. What's true about an ox? What's true about an ox? He's strong. Oh, he's strong. And what's happening with his strength? Is it doing him any good? Is it serving him? He is totally exploited. You become like an ox, just a dumb ox. And your strength goes to something else. When we look in the New Testament, we also find instruction for us, I think, to go, okay, I'm going to look for my warning signal. What I need to be careful about, what I need to be careful about. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to follow him. Look at Galatians 5. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And what's the very first thing listed there for the sinful nature? Sexual immorality. Oh, first off the list. Boom. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality. All right, what about Colossians? Put to therefore whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And then what comes next? Sexual immorality. Right at the top of the list. 1 Thessalonians 4. It's God's will that you should be sanctified. Okay, sanctified. That's pretty broad. That you should avoid sexual immorality. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. Over and over it comes to us. And when God gives them over in the sinful desires of their hearts, what do they get given over to? Sexual impurity. This is huge. And one of the things we need to recognize is that the New Testament was written in a context very much like our world. I'm an old guy. And I can say I tended to read the New Testament or read the Bible as if it was from my own culture from the 1960s, you know, where you didn't talk about this stuff that much, and it really wasn't everywhere, and people weren't all engaged in it, and it was a Christian culture. In Paul's culture, when he wrote, sexuality and sexual impurity and sexual immorality was everywhere. And he wrote in that ethos. And when you read the New Testament going, hey, Paul was he was awash in a culture of sexuality. And then you read the New Testament, you go, whoa, whoa, this is everywhere. I mean, he's talking about this all the time. He's just talking about this all the time. Because his culture was like what our culture's become. So, of course, more could be said on this. But this is just what the conclusion I've come to. If men are going to be strong, and if the church is going to be strong, what's one battle we have to win? And according to statistics, half the men in a typical evangelical church are engaging with pornography at least once a month. When I think about what's changed in our churches in the last 10 years, what I see is marriages and relationships and individuals being shipwrecked by pornography. I'm an old guy. I don't like to talk about this that much. I didn't talk about this nearly an appropriate way with my own children. But I realize now there is a snake in this tent. And we are getting snake bit. And there is a lack of strength. There is a strength sapped out. And no matter what the cause, whether it's your money or anything else, if it gives you a defiled conscience, you are worthless for God. You know that. When your conscience is not clear, you are worthless for God. And the devil wants you to have a violated, defiled conscience. Nothing defiles our conscience like a violation of our sexuality. When I violate my sexuality, it just goes so deep into my, like a arrow in the liver. It's like, ugh. And I am just like, so I'm just gut shot. And that's exactly where the devil wants me. And I am not strong. And I really believe the great battle for men, and especially the great battle in our day, and we have to be honest about what the battle is, the great battle for men and the great battle for young men is, will you rule your sexuality or will it rule you? Will you rule your sexuality or will it rule you? That is your great engagement. Will you watch your eyes? Will you watch your mind? Will you watch your heart? And if you will, the result is you will be strong. Because you'll have a clear conscience. You'll stand ready to serve before God. There won't be attacks that can come at you. But if you don't draw that boundary, and of course we stand on the grace of God, and we have to understand the place of the grace of God, but in the end, if we don't win the battle, we still will not be strong. So that's why I think, honestly, this is what I believe. And I've been other places too. I've been to China. You know what young people all over the world, young men all over the world are being totally gutted by? Pornography. Which is in China with Craig Swing. And there's this student from Indonesia. He's from Indonesia. And he's from a Muslim home, but he's gotten saved somewhere. He's Christian. He's pretty young believer. Doesn't really know much about Christianity. Totally engulfed in pornography since age 12. And he found out that the guys were going to start talking about having purity accountability groups. And he comes up like, whoa, can I do that? I am so sick of this. I think there's lots of unsaved men that go, I hate this. Now, there's a lot of unsaved men that don't say that. But all of us, unsaved, unsaved, we sense it rips the manhood right out of our gut. There are no adult bookstores. There's little boy bookstores. And every person that goes in there knows it. There's manhood the church needs. And I think we're getting gut shot. And I think if we can create a community of men that are not perfect, but we're committed to purity, I think it'll change the entire atmosphere of the church. I think it'll change how women feel about their faith. I think it'll change how the world looks at the church, because people are going to walk in here and they're going to sense something's different. I am in a group of strong men. I am in a group of strong men. I don't even know how to explain it. I don't know what's going on here. Something's different here. Something's different here. That's what I believe. Because you sure see the effects of it out in the world. There are very few strong men. And to be honest, there are fewer strong men in the church. And all of us have a part in that, because our lives aren't quite where they should be. And in this room, you know, the devil's been after you, and you may have be snared somewhere. And in one sense, it's almost like it's not your fault. I think of men, hey, listen, if you're not struggling with sexual stuff, there's something wrong with you. If you're a normal male and this culture has raised you and you've been brought up and gone through puberty in the last 10 years, I assume you're really struggling with sexual stuff, or there must be something wrong with you. You cannot be surrounded by all these images. You cannot have the things emailed to you that were emailed to my son. You cannot. The average person is exposed to pornography. I can't think it's age 12, and often it's unintentional. Somebody else connects them. If your children have smartphones, they've all seen pornography. Their friends have made that sure. The most vile image I've ever seen was emailed to my son when he was a young teenager. I hope he didn't see it. I don't know whether he saw it or not. I opened it up and I went, whoa, 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 whoa. And I see it to this day as clear as a bell. If your kids haven't seen pornography and they have access to a computer or a smartphone, you're living in a miracle. Because their friends are real intent. That is a lot of fun to send a really vile picture to a little Christian kid. Oh, man. That's our world. And yet, if we can pull the gun out of that guy's hands, we can shoot him right in the head. Because if we can become a culture, a community of clean men, of men pursuing a clean life, the world's going to go, how do you do that? What is going on with you? You are so different. You are so different. And men, I think that's our call. I think that's our key to the future. This is it. The devil has handed us our gun. Clean men. And there aren't going to be any outside the grace of God. That's what I think. And that's why you're here. And that's what we want to dialogue about. And Pat's going to share some more thoughts. And then we're just going to give you some things to think about for the evening. I think we're done by 11. It'd be great.